Welcome to the What a Job podcast, where we delve into the inspiring world of women in operations. In each episode, we sit down with incredible women who are forging a successful career as the driving force behind some of the largest companies and projects in Australia. Learn about the jobs they do, the career paths they have taken, and their passion for operations. Get ready to be motivated by the journeys, challenges, and triumphs of these remarkable women. For more information on this or any other episode, visit www.nawo.org.au.
Respect for diversity, equity, inclusion and belonging is core to Nawo's purpose. And Nawo holds deep respect for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander heritage, culture, strength, resilience and spiritual connection to the land on which we gather to connect, learn and share. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of all the First Nations of this land, and we pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging. This podcast is recorded on Wurundjeri land and produced on Darug land.
I am delighted to have our two What a Job guests with us today. So welcome to Hayley Page, Data Center Security Manager, and Rajita Baniya-Khatri, who is the Data Center Operations Technician based in Sydney. So to give you a bit more information about both our wonderful guests, Hayley has worked for AWS for 6+ years, and she's responsible for the physical security of the data centers across, I think, APAC region?
Yeah.
And almost 20 years experience in physical security and program management. So fantastic background there. Prior to Amazon Web Services, she worked at Chubb Security for close to 14 years. And outside of work, she's one of me. She loves reformer Pilates and cooking and very busy there with family as well. So welcome, Hayley, to the What a Job room.
Thanks, Louise. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And Rajita is a senior data center technician at Amazon Web Services, and she is the first point of contact for resolving any hardware-related issues. And she's been with AWS for over three years. Originally from Nepal and moved back to Sydney 6 years ago to pursue a Master's of Information Technology, so very future-oriented in that degree. And her early career was working part-time in retail and customer service. So she's really had a great career path already at AWS, and I cannot wait to hear more. So what I would love to hear from both of you first is, if you were talking to your grandparents, how would you describe your jobs? Rajita, how about you go first and give us the technician perspective?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here. So if I had to explain my job, so my job role is data center technician to my grandparents, I'd say I just fix computers. So that's actually what I do, computers in big computers. Big computers in data centers. So I think that's good enough for my grandparents to understand, because whenever I say someone that I study IT and stuff, they come with like different problems relating to their laptops. So I think that would make sense to everybody when I say I fix computers.
And just give us a sense of, you know, what is a data center? What does the hardware look like? Like, can you give us a bit of a sense of what your world looks like in that daily, say?
So basically, data center is a centralized place for all hardware like resources, which you can like, it's basically a place where you stack multiple computers. Yeah. So they are not like our like home computer, small one. They are like really big, huge, and they can do like multiple jobs and like multiple jobs at a time. So they are, this is my like data center is fully occupied with all the servers. So that's what we call servers. So they are all stacked up in a rack, and then so people can like, whoever use cloud services, they can access through internet all the services. I think many of us here are also using the services, like for example Gmail. So if you add anything in backup cloud services, iCloud, so that's actually stored somewhere. So that's where that is called data center. That place is called data center. So that's my world. So and as a technician, my role is if anything happens to the server, like if we have to repair it or anything goes wrong, we need to figure out why that's happening and fix that thing. So maybe you need to troubleshoot, replace the parts, components. So yeah, that's what I actually do.
So it requires quite a bit of mechanical aptitude as well as IT technical aptitude. Am I right in that?
Yeah, correct. So you have to like do some physical work as well because the servers are really heavy, but we have like safety is always our top priority and we have all the tools and technologies around to help with. So yeah, on top of that, we need to know like basic understanding of hardware and stuff, but it's like, it is something that you can learn easily. So you'll get used to it and yeah, getting better every day.
And are you on your feet most of the day?
It's not like all day because it depends because it's not like we just have to go there and work all the time, but we have other works apart from that as well. So that's our main job. But apart from that, we need to like communicate with other teams, like in our data centers, logistics teams to acquire parts if we have to replace anything. And we do have meetings and stuff. So it's like mixed of both, like standing on feet. Some days it could be, you could be standing a lot if you have like work that is related to that, but it's like mixed. So you can choose what you want to do on the day, but depends on the priority. So if the priority says we need to go and be on site and do it, then we have to, but yeah, it's mixed. So I kind of like it. It's not like sitting all day and watching your back and
getting
stuff.
Your steps up. Can we just say that? You're getting your steps up. And teamwork in working in close proximity with other members of the team or more distributed?
It's like both. So it's individual job. If you have to go there and work, you can do it individually, like go and fix something. But it's a team job. So we have to communicate with other teams so that, because sometimes there might be a different problems we have to deal with. So we have to communicate with different teams to source things out and get ideas on that. So we have to attend some meetings and get ideas on how we can fix it. So it's not like it's individual, plus we have to communicate with the teams as well.
Fantastic. So, Hayley, tell us about your job. If you were talking to your grandparents, how would you describe what you do?
Oh, goodness. So if I was talking to my grandparents, what would I tell them? I'd tell them that I'm responsible for keeping people in and out of the data centers. That's probably very simple, but there's obviously much more to that. So as the physical security program manager here, I am responsible for the designs as well as security systems for our data centers across APJC. So I would explain that I am responsible for all your cameras, CCTV, your access control, and everything that keeps the data center secure.
Amazing. And I have already said to you both that it's a bit like working for Interpol or ASIO. So how do you manage that part of it? Like, it is high security, this industry.
Yeah, it is high security, but I mean, there's things that we can share and things we can't share. Like from a design perspective, what we do isn't top secret. It's our locations and how we process and our processes. They're the things that we keep to ourselves that we don't share out there. So that's not stuff I would share anyway with my grandparents or friends. They probably wouldn't understand it anyway at a high level. You've got to be pretty engrossed in physical security and what we do at a higher level to really understand it.
For those of us who don't work in the cloud, but use the cloud, we kind of just think it's this esoteric thing that's out there somewhere. It is physical, massive. It's an operation.
Yeah, the way I describe it, not only to parents, but to kids, because we quite often go out to schools and explain to the schools what we do from a data center perspective, is Netflix is a prime example. Think about Netflix. You're watching Netflix. That has to be stored somewhere on a server. Our data centers host those servers. I'm protecting that cloud, that in simple terms. So I'm stopping anyone trying to get in that's not supposed to be there into those servers. Regina's allowed in there and I'm allowed in there. So we'd try to stop everyone else from getting in and getting to Netflix.
Yeah. And so when you say that, you're meaning people getting in physically, but also via cyber.
No, cyber's not my role. Okay. No, more, it's all physical. So all think physical. About, like I said, all physical. So the design of the building itself physical systems, the security systems that we install. That's what I'm responsible for.
So what was your pathway, Hayley, to this? I did refer to your background in your bio, but how did this career path eventuate for you?
By accident, really. So I left school and didn't know what I wanted to do. So started as a receptionist at the local security company and just progressively made my way through there. I had some really great mentors and teachers who saw more in me than what I did as a 19-year-old. And so as a receptionist, I made my way through service departments and various stages in the security industry, and then was approached about being a program manager, a project manager at the time, which I actually wasn't supportive of because we were churning through a lot of project managers and just didn't think that was a role for me. I wasn't technically trained either. So at first I was very reserved of, no, I'm not interested. However, they convinced me to give it a try. And I literally started putting security systems into ATMs. That's how I started. And I loved it. And so I got to where I am today. It wasn't an easy journey because I was untrained. I was a female. I was a young female as well. So it wasn't easy to get there, but here I am today.
Tenacity and a bit of courage, I would imagine, just pushing.
And a bit of pushing.
Yeah. And obviously, both of you are very open to learning. And I know Amazon have amazing facilities for learning. I've just been looking online last night at the training that's like freely available for actually anybody to sort of get started in. Rajita, was that your experience? Like the training that's provided there for AWS employees and non-employees, you can just enroll and do your certifications. Am I right?
Yeah, I think there are some trainings you can do, like non-employees can do as well. But as an employee, when I joined, like there are like a lot of resources to learn and grow because we have a separate sites for learning. So all the new trainings gets added. And if you want to try and find something, so we can easily find and learn that thing. And regarding certifications, yeah, we have like access to different like LinkedIn Learning. We have free access to that. So variety of options we can choose from to learn what you want to learn. So pretty much, yeah, like learn and be curious, one of our leadership principles that's really into us. So yeah, everyone, like I mean our managers, everyone like encourage us to learn new things and try new things. So like encourage us to try different things. So that's how we grow and learn. So like, I think for external thing, there are like resources on AWS websites and stuff, yeah, like cloud certification and all. But yeah, apart from that, as an employee, you have a lot of resources to learn and grow.
Fantastic. What do you love most about the job, Rajita? What do you love? What drives your passion for it every day?
So the challenges that I get here, so it's challenging and it's rewarding in a way as well. So we get to learn different things, as I already mentioned, so encouraged to learn. So something like I don't want to be staying and do nothing. So I'm like, I kind of like myself to make myself busy. Yeah. So this role allows me to do that. Like I'm doing like troubleshooting hardware stuff and like joining meeting, learning, and these kind of activities like events to join. So I'm really glad to be part of everything. And that's what I love most about my job, like learning new things. Every day is not the same. So yeah, I get to learn new things and challenge myself.
And are you on 12-hour shifts?
I am not, but yeah, we do have, as a DCO, we might have to, but depends on which site you are. So I'm not actually on 12 hours. So I'll do Monday to Friday regular shift. But yeah, my other DCO team member, they are on 12 hour shift. So it's mix up both. So it depends on which site you are. So some sites need 12 hour shift people. Some sites have like this Monday to Friday work.
Okay. So there's a bit of flexibility available in the time shifts that you can work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hayley, what is most challenging about your role?
What's most challenging about my role is probably the time zone differences, if I'm honest. We work in a global company, so trying to make sure we're trying accommodating all our different time zones from Dublin to Washington to New York and trying to do that is probably my most challenging, if I'm honest.
And for both of you, what strengths do you most rely upon? What do you think are like the two most important strengths that you leverage to do your job well?
The two come to mind for me is time management. to be a project manager, we have to make sure that we're using our time well. And communication, for me, are the two strengths. And that's not just being a project manager, that's also communicating clearly and concisely at a global level. We're so busy here and we've got so many different countries that we're dealing with where English isn't their first language. So we just have to make sure we're concise and clear and to the point to be, for people to understand. So time management and communication are my top two skills. It's also one of the reasons I love to work here. So it's my greatest challenge, but it's also one of the reasons I love to work here. I love that I could be talking to Dublin in the morning and Washington in the afternoon.
As long as you're not doing it 24/7, right? And talking to the whole globe around the, So yes, time management is key. So Rajita, what about you? What are your two key strengths?
For me, it's like working under pressure. Yeah, because sometimes like things are really critical for our customers. So we need to take actions really quickly, like resolve the issue really quickly. So we have to be really proactive and resolve the issue as soon as possible. And other thing, as like Haley said, communication. So it's also important because as we are resolving issues for our customers, so we need our solutions to be as fast as possible. So we need to communicate with other teams very well so that we can get a good idea and resolve the issue as soon as possible. So yeah, so we have to, so I would say I can like be proactive and resolve the issue by communicating with all other team members quickly for our customers.
Yeah, it must be quite full on. Who are some of the customers? Like, how can we get a sense of the customer? Like, are we talking big corporates as customers or individuals? What does your customer look like?
So we do have like, I think, mix of everyone, like big corporate as well. But for us, it's not like direct customers, but like whenever something happens to servers and we know like we have like priority, we have to prioritize our work. If it's high priority, it's pop-ups. So we have to take action immediately. Like there is some SLA for us. So we need to fix the issue within this timeline for if issues like that happens, if a lot of services are going down at once, then we need to act like proactively and resolve the issue because it is impacting many customers. So a server could have like many customers in it. Like, so if one or few goes down, then it could impact multiple customers at a time. So that's when we have to be proactive and resolve the issue as soon as possible, because if it's impacting multiple customers, it's a big loss and it's not good for our customers.
I'm fascinated. Like, I just want to know more about the whole process and the data. I'm gathering that when there's an outage, you get the data that shows you exactly where that problem is. And then is it like a SWAT team that goes down? And
that kind of, but we have to be on call. Like if we are on call, we have to be really proactive on that. And we are like the first point of contact to resolve the issue. So yeah, kind of that. So we have to like, if something like that happens, then it depends on the priority. It really happens, but yeah, we have to be really proactive and take actions quickly.
Root cause analysis at pace, I would imagine. Fascinating. What's something you would tell yourself when you first started your job? Who would like to try that one? It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, especially because when you are older, you get, and hindsight's a great thing too, right? Mm. I think one of the things that I've learned about, which I would have told myself, is imposter syndrome is real, right? And that we all go through imposter syndrome. I think one of the things I would say to myself, my younger self, is just to go for it. And if you fail, it's not a problem because you'll learn from that. And that imposter syndrome is real and that everyone goes through it. And just to ask someone, because you usually find that you're going through it, someone else is usually going through it as well. So it's better to openly talk about it and have great mentors or even friends or colleagues that can help you get through it together. So that's probably my advice as a mentor and people that struggle with self-sabotage is you're your worst critic. The world's not going to end and the data centers aren't going to burn down. Just keep going.
Yes. And, you know, you've talked about the pressure, Rajita, and that being, you know, it's really important to be able to act fast. There's a level of confidence that's required to act quickly like that and to problem solve. So what's your tip or trick?
I'd say like saying yes to opportunities if that makes you like open for opportunity. If you are say yes to opportunities, and if you feel like you are not right for the role or something, then always there's an option to learn. So you can always learn and get there easily. So if you always think that, okay, I don't know this, and if you hold yourself back, I think it's not never going to happen. But if you say, yes, okay, I'll do this, then you'll the path will open up and you can learn and then get there easily. So I think for me as well, it happened, like Haley said, imposter syndrome all over. And I feel the same way. But how I overcome is like by learning and gaining all the knowledges that I need. Once, because I think if you learn and gain knowledge, that will build up your confidence. So the more you learn, the more confident you are, and you'll be able to work your way out.
And, you know, I think to your point, Haley, spotting people who are doing really well, doing the job really well, and making sure that you, you know, build a relationship with them to say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me get better at that? Because I'm sure you also will be strong at something as well. So it's thinking about where am I doing really well, rather than always focusing on where are all my gaps. And I can absolutely tell you, imposter syndrome is not just a women's thing. I was having this conversation with people the other day. It always seems to be brought up as something that's a problem for women. And I'm like, imposter syndrome is everybody. Everybody experiences it. So please don't think that it's a gendered thing at all. All right. What is the biggest challenge you have had in your career path, and how did you overcome the challenge? Haley?
Yeah. So at my time at Chubb, there was this major challenge because as I explained earlier, I wasn't trained and I was the young female trying to get the lucrative, large, prestigious projects was not something that my manager or team considered at the time, because they just didn't think I could handle it. And so I had to push. I had to really push to demonstrate that I could do it. And often it was, I'd have the most amount of projects. So I'd have the little projects that would add up in value. So I had to use data and to back up that even though I might have 25 or 30 projects at this value, they added up to a $3 or $5 million project. And they were just smaller projects within that larger project. So it took that. It took me to push and push and push. And there were days where I felt like I needed to give up, but I had a great husband and a mentor at the time who just helped me push through it. I was also an emotional reactor, so I had to learn to try and remove the emotion and use the data. So it was a hard time in my life. I was a young mum. My kids were really young and I needed to try and prove myself. So yeah, it wasn't easy, but that's what I did. I just had to keep pushing and show to the team that I could do it. And I did. And a couple of years into that, I won 2 prestigious awards in the security industry for that particular project that we ended up being able to demonstrate that I could do it. So it's not easy, but I just have to keep pushing because I knew that I could do it and that I wanted to do it. So it was more the strength in me to keep pushing. That's been my biggest career challenge.
I love that. And there are so many moments in our lives where everything seems to collide. And, you know, I can totally relate to your story there when you've got family and you've got pressures at work, and it can be so easy to say, this is all too hard. But I can honestly say from my experience as well, and I think you're articulating the same thing, you move through these moments. They're all moments. They don't last forever. And
that's,
I think,
right,
you can just remember that, have support around you, break it down, always break it down. It's, you know, either a massive thing or you can break it down. So, yeah, I love that story. Thank you, Haley. Rajita, biggest challenge?
For me, the biggest challenge when I just joined, I started as a data center technician trainee. So that time I was the only female who joined as a data center technician. So not seeing anyone as a role model, it was a challenge for me because I felt at the beginning that I couldn't be as competent as my male colleagues because there's no one working, and I doubted myself, am I supposed to be here? Could I do the job well and things like that? But eventually, like learning, that's the main thing that I always stress on. So by learning, and even like my colleagues were really supportive, managers, everyone was supportive. So with their support and my pushing through my learning and all, so it all happened and I became, after like, it was a 6-month traineeship. So I had to go through interview process to get to a data center technician. So I made it. So yeah, that was the biggest challenge, not seeing anyone as a role model. But later on, like I met Haley and other team members, they were a big inspiration for me too. But as a technician, there was like no one to figure a role as a role model. So yeah, that was the challenge and I overcome it by learning and the support from the team.
I love that. You just have an amazing learning culture, obviously, at AWS, and you've got fantastic jobs and jobs of the future. And these jobs are always evolving, I'm sure, as the technology changes and as things move forward. But what an amazing opportunity for people to get into industry, work for a company like AWS. You guys are really showing us what these jobs are. Thank you for joining us today to share a little bit with our community, and all the best for keeping the cloud secure for all of us.
Thank you for having us.
The What a Job podcast is brought to you by NAWO, the National Association of Women in Operations. To find resources to help you build your career in operations, or to find out how NAWO can support your organization in achieving gender balance in operations, visit www.nawo.org.au.